Alhamdulillah, last night the 21st para was recited. The first ayah of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, that the knowledge of Qiyamah is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware and knows, has knowledge when Qiyamah will occur. The kuffar used to ask that, مَتَ السَّاعَةِ, when is Qiyamah coming? And sometimes the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, also certain of them, asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us when is Qiyamah. So when Qiyamah is going to happen, this is not the important thing. The important thing is, what have you done, what have you prepared for Qiyamah? So on one occasion when this question was asked, then the Sahabi said that I haven't prepared a lot of good a'mal, but I have love of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then he was told that أنت مع من أحببت, that on the day of Qiyamah you will be with whom you love. So this was an occasion for great happiness for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So we also should make preparations in terms of a'mal and increasing our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسأم الإنسان من دعاء الخير, that man never gets tired of asking for goodness. Insan, by his nature, he always wants goodness, he wants advancement, he wants the best, and he'll continuously desire this, make an effort and ask for it. وَإِن مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَيَأُوسٌ قَنُوتٌ, and if some harm, some difficulty comes on him, then man is very weak, he loses hope, he becomes completely despondent, and he feels there's no way out of this. His hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is very, very weak. Allah ta'ala says, and after this year, if we have to give him mercy after the difficulty, then now he forgets the difficulty that he was in. And now he thinks that this year, I am deserving of it. This is my right. This is my what is destined for me. And he forgets that just like how I was in difficulty, this difficulty can once again come on me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, that we will show insan, we will show man our signs in the heavens and in himself also. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ, until it will become clear, أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ, Allah Ta'ala, He is Al-Haqq, He is the true being. The deen of Allah, this is the truth. The Qur'an, this is the truth. So we see that 1400 years ago, the Qur'an was revealed. And as time passed, only the Qur'an, the predictions of the Qur'an, the message of the Qur'an, this has only become more and more apparent as new things are being invented. Scientists discover new things. It just proves and increases the truthfulness of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to become clear to everyone that this is the truth. Then the next surah is Surah Ash-Shura. It starts also with Hamim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that just like how the previous nations and previous Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam were granted scriptures and books, similarly, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we send this Quran by means of wahi to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Allah ta'ala has given us a deen that is not a new deen, but it is the same deen that was given to Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam and those anbiya that came after him, then Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. They all were given the same deen with a little variation in the shariat, but the foundations of and the core beliefs of the deen was the same. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that there's two ways that a person will get deen and come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. The first way is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects and chooses whomsoever He wishes. So without a person making any effort on his side, certain people Allah Ta'ala will select and pull them towards Him and draw them closer towards Him. So that is the first way. So this is only for some people, and this is dependent on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. The second way, this is open for everyone. We all should make an effort and try for the second way. What is that? وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Whoever shows an inclination and turns to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ. Allah will guide this person towards Him. So when a person makes an intention to come to Allah and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will guide this person towards Him. As it comes in the hadith, that a person takes one step to Allah, Allah Ta'ala takes two steps to him. A person comes by a palm's length to Allah, Allah Ta'ala comes a hand's length towards him. Person comes walking towards Allah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala runs towards him. So the condition is that our hearts have to be wanting and desiring to come towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will guide a person. And Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu latifun bi ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha. Allah Ta'ala is very kind, merciful to His servants, and Allah Ta'ala provides, gives sustenance to whomsoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is so great on all of His servants, and Allah Ta'ala gives rizq to whomsoever He wishes. What does it mean? Because everybody who gets rizq, it comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala gives people different types of rizq. Some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them wealth. Other people, they don't have wealth, but for them, Allah Ta'ala gave them strength, example. Other people, Allah Ta'ala gave them intelligence. Other people, they have got honor. Other people have been blessed with children. So Allah Ta'ala provides for everyone according to how He wishes. وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزِ. And this year is not because Allah is weak, etc., but Allah is very strong. Allah is all overpowering. This ayat, our elder Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahimahullah has said that a person who will read this ayah 70 times after Fajr Salah. Now, as it explained, even if you can't read 70 times, at least 25 times after Fajr Salah, then a person who's in any financial difficulty, Allah will take him out of that difficulty. So we should make an effort to try and make it part of our ma'amulat also. And then Allah Ta'ala says that the real object has to be the life of the akhirat. This dunya, it's temporary. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِ. A person who will intend this dunya, even through his good amal, he just wants the dunya, or he's making an effort for the dunya, he forgets about the akhirat. نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِ. We'll increase for him in his harvest of the dunya. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِ. A person who intends the harvest of the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala says, we will increase for him in his harvest of the akhirat. One good deed a person does, Allah Ta'ala gives minimum 10 times the reward. And maximum, no limit to it. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. And a person who wants the harvest of the dunya, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. He will also be given of the dunya. Allah will open up for him the dunya. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. But in the akhirat, he won't have anything. So the dunya, we have to sacrifice it. We have to make our yurid, our intention, our maqsad, our desire has to be for the akhirat. That is one of the efforts that we have to make on our hearts, that how we can get ikhlas and how we can start desiring the akhirat. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. Whatever calamity befalls you, whatever calamity comes upon you, be it in the form of natural calamities, earthquakes, floods, or oppressive rulers that are put upon you, then all of this is بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It's the result of what you have earned with your own hands, the result of your actions. وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. And Allah overlooks and lets go of a lot more. So whatever difficulties come, whatever conditions, where difficult conditions come, this is because of the amal of insan. As it is said, that amalukum ummalukum. Your actions, they bring about your rulers. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that this is because of our actions. But it's not all our actions. Allah Ta'ala in fact let go of many of our actions. But sometimes Allah Ta'ala takes us to task for it and puts these difficult conditions on us. As in Aisha radiallahu anha, when she used to be afflicted with a headache, even a small thing as a headache, then she would say, this is because on account of some sin that I have committed. So any condition comes upon us, it should make us think and reflect and turn back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One of the tabi'in, most probably Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, used to say that when I disobey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when I do anything wrong, then I see the effect of it in my children, in my animal. Now my children are not obeying me, they're not obedient to me, they're not listening to me. My animal also now is becoming stubborn, is not listening to me. So the effect of it comes into our lives, of our sins. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make tawbah and to repent and turn back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And whatever you have been granted, be it wealth, be it honor, position, all of these things is just a temporary item of benefit of this dunya. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But what lies by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, this is much, much better and is more everlasting. It will remain forever. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And it will be for the people of Iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And here Allah Ta'ala mentions these people of Iman. And the first people who this referred to was the Sahaba رَجِلَّ عَنُمْ. Eight qualities of them. One is, the first is they have Iman. Second, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That they trust only upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. They have tawakkul on Allah, reliance on Allah. Thirdly, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. They abstain and stay away from major sins and from acts of immorality, vulgarity. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And when they get angry, then they overlook and forgive. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. And they heed the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning they obey what commands Allah ta'ala has given to them. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ. And they establish salah. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And their matters are decided by mashwara, mutual consultation amongst themselves. So this is where the surah gets its name, Surah al-Shura, that their matters are decided by shura. In collective matters, it is decided not as a one man rule, but it is decided by shura, by consultation. So in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that despite Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being divinely guided in all his decisions that he would make, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would still then consult with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. As you heard about the battle of the trench, Khandaq. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted with the Sahaba that these armies have assembled around Medina. Now how are we going to oppose them? And then Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he gave the right opinion that we should dig a trench on one side of Medina to block off the enemy. And in different matters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make mashra with the Sahaba with regards to the captives after the battle of Badr. What to do with them? Should we free them? Should we take ransom from them? Should we kill them? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashra with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So one Sahabi says, I haven't seen anyone making so much mashwara and consulting with his companions than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much he used to make mashwara with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So in collective matters, the Islamic system is that there will be mashwara, that will take, there will be an Amir and he will make mashwara, and through consultation and mashwara, then decisions will be made. So that is on a collective level. And we can bring this down to a micro level also. In our own lives, in our individual lives also, we can bring mashwara alive in our lives. We see Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he got the command from Allah that he has to slaughter his son. So he didn't merely tell him that I have been commanded, I have to slaughter you, come. But he said, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تُرَى. That what do you see? So then the Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh my father, this is the command of Allah. It has to be done. So thus also we can bring it into our individual lives also. For example, a person with his employees. So instead of telling the worker, 9 o'clock you must go and fetch this here and then go and do this delivery, tell him, you need to pick up these goods, you need to do this delivery, what time you think you should leave? So you have in your mind what you want to do. What will this do? This will build a better relationship between the two. It will build confidence in them and will extract the good in them. There's no amal that can take out the good in the hearts of people more than mashwara. Similarly with our children, in our families at home, etc. And in our individual lives also, a person who will make mashwara and he will make istikhara. In any important matter, in any important decision he has to take in life, he makes mashwara, he consults. Consults with a pious person who has hikmat and wisdom, and with the people who are in that field and they know about that field, he consults with them and he also makes istikhara. He seeks guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this person will never face any loss and he will never regret. So we should bring this alive in our lives, inshaAllah. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And the next quality is that they spend off what we have provided for them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, further on, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. Allah, He is the owner, the king of the heavens and the earth. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاء. He creates whatever He wishes. None can question Him. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Allah Ta'ala grants and bestows to whomsoever He wishes female offspring. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. And to whomever He wishes, He grants male offspring. Some people only get daughters. Some people only get sons. And Allah Ta'ala says, يَهَبُ, like a hadiah. It's a gift from Allah Ta'ala's side. It's not your right, but Allah Ta'ala has gifted it to you. And أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Or some Allah Ta'ala gives both male and female offspring. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. And Allah Ta'ala makes whomever He wishes barren. Some people get no children. So this year is all on the Mashiyat, based on the decision of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and the irada, the intention of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So sometimes a person doesn't have children, then we have to be very careful in this year. Sometimes people make certain comments that hurt the person, hurt their feelings. That now, when are you getting children? When is the baby coming? Etc. So this is not that person's fault that they're not able to bear children, but this is what Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala has wished, and nobody has any choice in this. The next surah is Surah Az-Zukhruf. Ya Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala mentions with regards to the kuffar that if it were not for the fear that all of mankind would become one ummah and they would all disbelieve in Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, then Allah Taala would have made for those people who don't have iman, Allah Taala would have made silver roofs for their houses. Their houses would have silver roofs and staircases also of silver that they would climb up on. And Allah Ta'ala would have granted them also doors. The doors of the houses would also be of silver, and the couches on which they would recline. And these silver, Allah Ta'ala could have also made it out of gold. But what would happen? Everyone would become kafir. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala didn't make it like that. And Allah Ta'ala says, "In kullu dhalika lamma mata'u al-hayati dunya." Even in any case, these are just, this is just the mata' of this dunya. This is something to take benefit of in this worldly life. It's not the real thing of value. The real thing of value is the akhirat. والآخرت عند ربك للمتقين. And the akhirat is for those who have taqwa. And before that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala mentioned some of His great signs and His great creations. That again and again, Allah Taala speaks about the earth, the rain, and the ships, and the animals upon which man travels. And this du'a is mentioned, which is a very famous du'a which we read when we climb onto a motor vehicle. Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, and then Subhana alladhi sakhara lana. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that remember the ni'mat of your Rabb, the bounty of your Rabb, when you ascend on and climb up onto the ships or onto the animals, or in our cases when you climb onto the motor car. And this is a ni'mat that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given. You see, from all the animals, it is only insan that utilizes another animal, another creature as transport. Other animals might sit on another animal and move, but they don't have control over it. It's only insan that has control over the animal. And that time they would ride horses, camels, elephants, etc. All of these animals are bigger than men, stronger than men, but Allah has made them subservient to men. So this is a ni'mat of Allah. In our case, the car, this is a ni'mat that Allah has given you. So many people there are that don't have a means of transport. Allah has given it to you. Remember the ni'mat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And what taqulu, and you must say, Subhana alladhi sakhara lana hadha. Pure is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who has put this at our service. Allah Ta'ala has put it at your service. Wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. We couldn't have brought it under control. Wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. And undoubtedly, we are going to return to our Rabb. Yeah, we are on a journey. We're going on a journey 1 hour, 2 hours. And now, on this journey, we think of our real journey, which is towards the akhirat, that we are also going to return to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And similarly, a person doesn't have then pride, because he knows he's going back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So maybe he's driving a very smart, fancy car, and he passes someone who's in an old car, a jalopy, so he doesn't look down upon them. Remember this, we are going back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala one day. The next surah was Surah Al-Dukhan. Dukhan is that smoke, which is one of the signs, as we read in the Aqidah Kitab, that will appear before Qiyamah. Ya Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala also speaks about the Qur'an. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. We have revealed the Qur'an in a blessed night, referring to the night of Qadr. And inna kunna mundirin fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. In this night, all matters are decided. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the revelation of the Qur'an that occurred in the night of Qadr. And the last surah which was recited is Surah Al-Jathiyah. Jathiyah means to sit down on a person's knees and kneel down on one's knees. So on the day of Qiyamah, out of the fear and seeing the awe and majesty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, people will be kneeling down on their knees and will be humble in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make preparation for that day.